are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, originating in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig, and we welcome you to this another Way of Truth broadcast. We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing this broadcast service with you, and we're opening with the Way of Truth singer singing for us, "I Believe He'd Go to Calvary for Me." Our Heavenly Father, we do believe that Jesus Christ went to Calvary for each one of us, and that whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. We're thankful for the privilege of sharing the good news with this precious people today. We thank you for our congregation, and we're praying the blessings of Almighty God to be upon each and every one. We're thankful not only that you have saved us from sin, but you are our burden bearer, and you've told us to cast all of our care upon you. We ask you to remember our congregation today, the burdens and the cares that they have, so you'll be pleased to minister to each one. Now, Father, take us, take this broadcast, make it a blessing to precious eternity-bound souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue the musical part of our broadcast service with the selection entitled "Seeking the Lost." And you know, that's why Jesus came into this world. He came to seek and to save those which were lost.
Seeking the lost, yes, finding and seeking, wanderers on the mountain of strength, come unto pagans, blessings repenting, words of the Master speaking today.
Going afar
upon the mountain,
bringing the water.
Our subject for today's broadcast, The Danger of Delay. And our text of scripture is taken out of Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. And when one of them that sat at meat with him, speaking of Jesus, sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they with one accord or one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them or to test them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is more room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and urge them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Delay has cost many people blessings and benefits, even cost some people their life. And often people delay with the excuse that they are thinking about it. When it comes to your soul's salvation, will you die thinking about it? Oh yes, there are many things that we should think about, but there comes a time when it calls for action and not just thinking. So when it comes to your soul's salvation, will you die thinking about it? So let me speak first of all to the Christian in regard to the thought of the danger of delay. We are told in the Scriptures that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there is danger in not growing in our Christian experience. For if we do not grow, we'll find ourselves slipping back, and eventually we will be outside the kingdom of God. Now, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as the Scriptures instruct us, this takes effort. It doesn't just happen or just mere some accident and then you are growing in your Christian experience. It takes concerted knowledge and effort to be able to grow in your Christian experience. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, the writer of Hebrews says, to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, or, in other words, drift away from them. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. So it takes effort. It doesn't happen by accident or happenstance. It takes effort to grow in our Christian experience. And there is a devil out there that would oppose every Christian in their endeavor to grow in their Christian experience. And we must overcome that opposition to be able to grow and to please the Almighty God, which is, or at least should be, the desire of every Christian. Do you regularly attend the place of worship where the truth of the gospel is preached? I say regularly. If not, then why not? What could be more important than worshiping with saints of God, having your soul fed upon the pure Word of God? We have many responsibilities in life, true. We have many duties, true. But one supersedes all others, and that is giving heed to our soul and to our eternal welfare. So the writer of Hebrews says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should drift away from them. And don't think that it's impossible to drift away from them. This warning would not be there if it were not possible to drift. Do you make excuses to God about things you need to be doing and are not doing them? Moses made excuses to God at the burning bush. But God did not accept his excuses. He made a requirement of Moses, and Moses accepted that requirement, and God was with him. And God will be with everyone who will do the bidding and the will of God. We read in our text today, verses 21 through 23, "Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room.' And the Lord said unto the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges, and urge them to come in, that there may be, that my house may be filled.'" Now let us consider first of all those who were called first. And I believe in this parable that Jesus is talking about, he is speaking about his own Hebrew people. For we read in the scriptures that he came unto his own. And in another passage of scripture, we are told by the Lord himself that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. His primary purpose in coming into this world, and as far as his ministry is concerned, was to minister to his own people. It is true that his purpose was to die for all, and he did die for all. But in his own personal ministry, he said he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so the first ones that were called were his own Hebrew people. But we find out that they began to make excuse as to why they would not come. And he also sent the church out, and he urged them to go and to call the lost, including his own people. But again, excuses were made. Now, let us look at some of these excuses, or three particular excuses that are given here. First of all, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them." You mean to tell me that a person would buy 5 yoke of oxen without first trying them? And the other one, he said, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it." Who would buy property without first looking at it for himself and seeing what shape and what condition it was in? And another said, "Well, I've married me a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Well, what was wrong with bringing his wife along with him? I'm sure the Lord of the house would not have objected. He not only should have come himself, but he should have brought his wife along with him. Now, what do we see here in these three excuses? We see nothing but excuses, not reason. You know, there's a difference between an excuse and a reason. Neither one of these persons had a real reason for not accepting the invitation to the Lord's Supper. They only had excuse, but the excuses was not pleasing to the Lord of the home. In fact, the Bible says that he was angry with them. Now, we are to be vessels, and I speak to the Christians, we are to be vessels sanctified and meet for the Master's use. And we are not to be Christians, vessels, just to sit on a shelf somewhere. We are to be vessels to be used, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. We are to be vessels of the Holy Spirit, and we are to be vessels for the Holy Spirit to use. And one of the great commissions that we have, not only as a church but as an individual, is to be a soul winner for Christ. Oh yes, we'll meet up with those who offer excuses, but we're still to go. Notice in the parable that Jesus gave, and I have read on the broadcast today, he did not stop because these three made excuses. He instructed his servants to go out and to invite others. Go out into the street. Go out and just invite anybody, everybody, to come to my supper because I'm going to have guests. And they went out and they did it. And they told the Lord of the house, there's still room. We've gone out. There have been people that have accepted the invitation. They have come, but there's still room. And so he said, well, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel or urge them to come in, that my house may be filled. So God is no respecter of persons. In this new covenant age in which we live, everyone is invited. As we read in the book of Revelation, the bride says, come, and whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. As a church and as individuals, we are to be Christ's witnesses. He said, you are my witness. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Someone has interpreted that statement to mean Jerusalem as being home, Judea being the neighborhood, Samaria was being the neighboring country, and then he said, even to the ends of the earth. So the commission to the church is to go and to invite whosoever will, red, yellow, black, or white. It makes no difference with God, male or female, educated or uneducated. What God is after, what Christ came for, is souls. Soul winning is not just for the ministry. Let me emphasize that point. I know a lot of churches, they have the preacher to do the praying, the preaching, and all this for them. But, beloved, when we speak about God's people, God's church, we're not talking about hiring someone to do your work for you. Every individual is to be a soul winner. You are to let your light shine. You are to be an example. You are to be an influence. You are to be a witness to the unsaved and urging them to get right with God. Now, I'm not talking about going out and being obnoxious and trying to cram religion down people's throats. I'm not talking about that. That's a good way to drive people away. I'm talking about being a living witness where your words will be backed up by the life that you live, and people will take note not only of what you say, but of the way that you live. We understand this parable in our text that Jesus gave to be speaking of people being invited to the supper of salvation. Now, I know in the parable, it was talking about a literal supper, but we understand this parable to have spiritual meaning. It has spiritual significance. So what Jesus was talking about was going out and inviting people to the supper of salvation. And you notice in the parable that he urged his servants to go out and to invite just anybody and everybody. No, Jesus Christ did not teach that only a select few had been chosen, predestinated, and all the rest would be lost. You cannot get that out of this parable, nor any other passage of Scripture that is rightly divided and rightly understood. So we understand that Jesus is using this parable to teach that the church is to go anywhere and everywhere and invite souls to come to salvation, to come to know Christ as their own personal Savior and Lord. And so anybody and everybody can come, not just these three that were mentioned, and not just the Hebrew people, and not just a select few, but the entire world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now they made excuse. Jesus said, I say unto you that none of those men which were made excuse or made their excuses, none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. So delay cost them everything. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he warned the people for many years, but only his family went in the ark. Delay caused the loss of the lives of all of the rest. Had there been a sufficient number, heeded Noah's message, doubtless God would not have sent the flood in the first place. But all that believed Noah's message went into the ark. As he warned the people of the coming judgment of God, they mocked him, they ridiculed him, they disregarded and went their own way, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the floods came, and then it was too late. Delay cost them their very life. They did not heed the warning. The rain started, and doubtless they come running, pounding on the ark, saying, now we believe you, open the door, let us in. But God had shut Noah in, and it was too late. Now Lot warned his family there in Sodom, we are to get out of here, because God's going to destroy the city. But his sons-in-laws mocked him and made fun of him and ridiculed him and thought he had gone crazy over religion, as it were. And the two men, the angels that had gone into the city that evening, took a hold of Lot and his family and urged them, he, his wife, and his two daughters, to get out of the city. Of course, as they went on their way, Mrs. Lot turned and looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Too late. Delay in obeying God, disobedience to God, cost her life. Lot went out, and he spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws, according to Genesis chapter 19 and verse 14. When the fire began to fall, they may have tried to flee, but it was too late. Yes, there is danger in delay. Jesus told the people, when they saw certain things, certain signs, they should flee to the mountains and not go into Jerusalem. The Christians that were in Jerusalem believed what Christ said, and they fled out. Historians tell us there was not one Christian that died in Jerusalem when the army of Rome besieged it and destroyed it in A.D. 70. But there were many who did not believe Jesus, did not heed his message, and they went into the city, the very thing he told them not to do, and they perished there along with the citizens of the city. Many did the very thing Jesus told them not to do. But, beloved, if we're going to see our souls saved, if we're going to have eternal life, then we must do what the Lord commands. Now, if you are today unsaved, listening to this broadcast today, and we're certainly thankful if you are, let me ask you this question. What is your excuse for not being a Christian? You think God's going to accept it at the judgment? Beloved, get rid of your excuses. Do not delay until it is too late. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That is a message to you today if you are unsaved. Will you heed that message, or will you delay until it is too late? Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. May the word that has gone forth be blessed and anointed with the Spirit, and may it find receptive hearts. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We do thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing the gospel message with you, and we do trust that our broadcast today has been a blessing to you. We're going to give you our mailing address, for it would be an encouragement to us if you would take time to let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And when writing, if you have a prayer request, please feel free to send it in, and we'll pray with you in behalf of it. Now, our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can listen to a number of our broadcasts and read a number of issues of our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast.
Would you please cross this?